The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. True love endures. That kind of love is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, but her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about spiritual opposition. For the past several weeks, we've been talking about things which ought to characterize every Christian. A look at the pattern of self-sacrifice, love, purity, tenderness in the New Testament certainly shows up pretty glaringly my own failures to measure up. And the result, if you're anything like me, is despair, isn't it? Just the feeling of, well, what's the use? I was never cut out to be a saint. I'll never be holy. I'll never be like so-and-so. I can never be a Corrie ten Boom or a St. Paul or a St. Francis of Assisi. But those are expressions of one who has lost his spiritual bearings. If we keep our spiritual bearings, we're not going to be saying, what's the use, or there's no hope for me. We need to find the pole star. I have a little sort of a telescope-looking thing in my study, just a cheap little thing, which is a way of trying to learn something about the constellations. It's a little tricky to work it, but often on a starry night, I will get it out and set the lenses where they're supposed to be, and then look at the sky and see if I can identify in this little telescope where Orion is. Orion I can usually find, but there are a good many other constellations that I can't find. But in order to do that, I have to know where the pole star is, the center, the controlling principle. Well, who is our pole star? Jesus Christ, of course, the one who holds everything. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Well, if we could measure up to the standard of the New Testament pattern of self-sacrifice, love, purity, tenderness, holiness, then we certainly wouldn't be very conscious of needing that refuge or those everlasting arms. And so the more hopeless and helpless we feel, the more possible it is, I think, for us to believe that there is someone far greater than us, someone who does love us, and someone who wants to take over our lives for our blessing and for our fulfillment, because he loves us. So how did this one reveal himself according to the New Testament? I'd like to look at Titus, the second chapter, verses 11 to 14. It says, "The grace of God has dawned upon the world with healing for all mankind, and by it we are disciplined." Now, right there, I want to stop and point out what I think is an interesting expression. It says, by the grace of God, we are disciplined. By it, referring to grace, we are disciplined for what? To renounce godless ways and worldly desires, and to live a life of temperance, honesty, and godliness in the present age, looking forward to the happy fulfillment of our hope when the splendor of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, will appear. He it is who sacrificed himself for us to set us free from all wickedness and to make us a pure people, marked out for his own, eager to do good. Now there's a description of a world in need of healing, a godless world, a world full of wickedness, a world that God's word tells us we are supposed to renounce, this godless world, this world full of wickedness. Now, none of us, I suppose, has any trouble recognizing the truth of the wickedness of this world. Someone was just telling me the other day about a young woman who had 92 different personalities in one body. And the psychiatrist explained that the reason that she had split into so many different personalities was because of horrible abuse when she was a child. And my friend who had watched the program was describing to me some of the forms of abuse that had been inflicted on this pitiful child and her attempt to escape from it. And just hearing for 10 or 15 minutes from my friend about the way that one little child was treated just brought home to me once again how almost unimaginable, well, I have to say how unimaginable, because I couldn't imagine any human being even dreaming up such tortures as this father had thought up for his own little child. It just reminded me of what a terrible, godless world we do live in. And the Bible says that the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. So we don't have any trouble recognizing the truth of the wickedness of the world as long as we're talking about somebody else. But what is the source of the evil? Well, in the beginning, as we know from the story in Genesis, it was the enemy of God, Satan, who came to the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, in the form of a snake. And he is our enemy, too, if we have the slightest intention of siding with God. Let's remember that. That explains a great deal. But the enemy himself is determined to make us forget that he's even there. He would much prefer that we believe that he doesn't exist. He would love to tempt us to disbelieve in his existence or to go to the other extreme and to feel an unhealthy and an excessive interest in him. Now, both are extremes. The scripture makes it unmistakably plain that there is a devil. There is a personal devil, and there are demons. So we cannot, if we believe the Bible, disbelieve in the existence of this enemy. But on the other hand, we're not to feel an unhealthy and excessive interest in him. I wonder what view he would take of Titus 2, verse 14. I'll read it again. He, speaking of Jesus, he it is who sacrificed himself for us, to set us free from all wickedness, and to make us a pure people, marked out for his own, eager to do good. Now there we have what God wants to do, what Jesus' own sacrifice of himself was meant for, to make us a pure people, marked out for his own, eager to do good, and to set us free from wickedness. And that's the last thing, of course, that our enemy, the devil, would want to do. We need forgiveness for our own sins. The enemy would love to persuade us that we don't need it, that I'm okay and you're okay. Well, if I thought that you were okay, then I wouldn't be spending my time talking to you on the radio. And if you thought that I was okay, in other words, that I was not a sinner, I don't really think you'd have a whole lot of time to listen to me. You have to know that I'm not dishing out stuff to you that also doesn't apply to myself. And so we get discouraged, don't we? We know that we're not okay. I'm not okay, and you're not okay. But Jesus Christ sacrificed himself to set us free from wickedness and to make us a pure people. That's what I want to be. I don't want to nullify the message of the cross. Satan, the Bible tells us, is the father of lies. And it's his job, his self-appointed job, to make us believe lies. Christ came to set us free. The world looks on Christianity as bondage. You people never have any fun. You can't do this, and you can't do that, and you don't want this, and you don't want that. And the word renunciation, that's a dreadful word today, isn't it? Who wants to think about temperance, honesty, godliness? In the world we live in, there's plenty of spiritual opposition to those things. And you know that if you've ever tried them. They who fain would serve him best, the old hymn says, are conscious most of wrong within. So don't be surprised if you're attacked. It was a struggle to the death between heaven and hell for Jesus Christ, and he had to sacrifice himself. What is wrong with the world is so terrible that it took death to heal us. So however deeply, however ungratefully, or inexcusably you have fallen, you to whom I'm speaking today, you there listening to your radio, have you fallen in a way which seems to you unforgivable? It's not unforgivable. Give him your heart. Turn to Jesus. Give him your daily striving to be more like him, that striving which sometimes seems to be so useless and so discouraging. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on life, and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.